الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خير يرى ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شر يرى. وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: إياكم والحسد، فإن الحسد يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, jazakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our protector, our provider, our nourisher, our sustainer. Peace and salutations belong to all the anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam. However, the choices of blessings belong to none other than the greatest of all, the masterpiece himself, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My respected elders and brothers, being the great day of Yawm al-Jum'ah, let us send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala Ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously send His blessings upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, upon his children, upon the Sahaba radiallahu an, upon all those who have followed him, all those who are following him, and all those who shall follow him till the day of Qiyamah, inshaAllah. Ameen. Nevertheless, my respected elders and brothers, the most important organ in the body of a human being is his heart. Medically, if the heart is correct, then the entire body will be correct. Spiritually, likewise, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions in a hadith, إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. That if the heart is spiritually correct, then to worship Allah, it becomes very easy. But on the converse and on the flip side, إِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If the heart becomes polluted, if the heart becomes corrupted, if the heart becomes, as they say, messed up, then to worship Allah, it becomes extremely difficult. And like this, my respected elders and brothers, Sahaba radiallahu an had the best qualities. That is why it is mentioned in a riwayat of Ibn Masud radiallahu an, اختارهم الله لصحبة نبيه. Allah had chosen the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to be his friends. You know, one is we always tell a child that choose your friends in school. But Allah had chosen the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to be exactly the friends of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And I want to show you the purity and the cleanliness of their heart. I want to render to you a little incident that had transpired, a beautiful quotation of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an. On one occasion, just to show you the pureness and the sincerity in their heart, on one occasion a person came up to him and he verbally abused him. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an told him, that innaka latashtimuni, you want to argue with me, my brother? Well, I exercise three rites of which no one else has ever done. That inni la'atin ala ayatin min kitabillah, falawadittu anna jami'an nasi ya'alamuna ma a'alam. Wallah, I have so much of sincerity, so much of love I have for my Muslim brother, that at times if I open up the Quran and I come across a certain ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah opens up the doors whereby I can understand this ayat so clearly and so beautifully, that my desire is that I wish that the entire ummah could benefit from this fruit. He then mentions and he says, the second thing being, and before I get there, my respected elders and brothers, this was Sahaba radiallahu anhu. You know, for us to understand it, imagine it this way here. Could we or would we ever be such that if we had to strike a deal with someone, would we desire that the same deal be struck with someone else? As soon as someone tells us, like, how you managed to get this? No, you know, that promotion is over. Today was the last day. They're no more selling it. I was the only one who got upgraded to business class. Now that promotion is over, you'd rather not worry about it. We will never be happy. We could never have the heart of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And look at the sincerity of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an. He says the second thing, إِنِّي لَأَسْمَأُ بِالْحَاكِمِ مِنْ حُكَّامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَعْدِلُ فِي حُكْمِهِ. That I get elated, I get excited at the fact that if I come across a judge in a Muslim community who is presiding and taking care of that community by giving the laws according to Quran and Hadith, I become extremely happy. For the simple fact that that person is an asset to the Muslim community. And he says the third part being that وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ بِالْغَيْثِ. If I come to hear of some rain, beneficial rain, قَدْ أَصَابَ الْبَلَدَ مِنْ بِلَادِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that it comes down to a certain community, I get so excited and so happy that Allahu Akbar, at least there is some community that is benefiting from this beautiful rain. This was Sahaba radiallahu anh. This was the purity in their heart. Never once would they ever overstep and have that animosity for their Muslim brother. In fact, on one narration it is stated by a person by the name of Hassan. On one occasion, a lady came to him, she was begging. So he looked at her and he told his slave that, you know what, give her 400 dirhams. So the slave was a bit perplexed, he held back a little bit. And he says, oh my master, you know, tas'aluka bid dirham? She's only asking you for one dirham. I mean, I can understand if you're giving her two or three, but you want to give her four, 400? So he says, look, I thought about it and I looked at her and I saw that Allah has blessed this woman with beauty. Allah has blessed this woman with beauty, and I feared that because of her condition, her beauty or her desperation mustn't lead her to immorality. Her desperation mustn't lead her to immorality. That's why I said, let me enrich her, let me empower her, give her that 400 dirhams. Perhaps, who knows, someone may take fancy to her and get married to her. As a result, it will save her from sin. Allahu Akbar. Do we ever think like this, my respected Alis and brothers? This was the purity of the hearts of the people before us. Our condition is completely opposite. Wallah, when we had to look in our heart, we will be astounded and we will be so intimidated that the amount of jealousy, animosity, hatred that we have for our own Muslim brother, let alone the kafir. And it's for this reason here that today, inshallah, I want to speak about one spiritual malady, and that is of jealousy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions and he says in a hadith that إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدِ, beware of jealousy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارَ الْحَطَبِ. That beware of jealousy to such an extent that jealousy is of such a nature that it will eat away your good deeds just as how fire eats away wood. Now, to explain this a little further, Mufti Taqi mentioned so beautifully. He says that there are two types of fires. One is the fire that you can see, where you can see the flame. And the other is that type of fire which you know is burning but you can't see the flame. And he gives the example of coal. And between me and you, my respected Alis and brothers, we all know the latter is more dangerous than the former. Because if we had to see a house burning, if we had to see the house burning, we can see the flames erupting. We know very well that we need to stay away from that type of place. The authorities that are there, the ambulance services or the fire brigade, etc., they will perhaps cordon off the area. And they will not allow anyone to go near that place, fearing that that person might fall or succumb to that fire, as a result, cause harm to himself. But the second fire is the one that burns secretively. And that is far more dangerous because we can't see it. We don't understand it. In the same way, this is how sin operates. If a person is involved in a sin openly, he knows he is burning. Immediately he can recourse or make a way back to his Allah and find a solution to his sin. But that person who has this fire burning in him, secretively, he doesn't know it's there. Like a gas pipe that's slowly leaking, no one knows about it. Everybody is waiting, no one knows when that moment might come and it might explode and cause harm to everyone. And this is how sin operates. So that person who inwardly doesn't realize this harm of jealousy in him, as a result, he'll perform his salah. He will make his ibadah. He will go for hajj. He will go for umrah. He will do years of charity, years of community services. But because of his jealousy, ultimately he fails to realize that at the end of the day, this very same jealousy will eat away every amal that he did. That is why hadith mentions, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions and he says in a hadith, that come the day of Qiyamah, a person will stand in front of Allah. He will have every amal intact. His salah will be on par, 100%. His zakat will be on par, 100%. His hajj will be on par, 100%. Every act that Allah wanted him to do will be there with full marks. But, فَقَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَكَذَّبَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا. But he swore at a person. He belied another person. He spoke ill of that person. He had animosity for that person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that this will be the biggest loser on the day of Qiyamah. And the worst part is, my respected elders and brothers, that all those people that a person might have jealousy for, come the day of Qiyamah, the amal that he did, the good amal, will be given to the person who he was jealous of. And if he still can't repay, then all the bad amal of the person who he was jealous of will be passed on to him. So I'm sure we can all agree that indeed he is the greatest loser. May Allah save us, my respected elders and brothers. Indeed, it's a great sin, a great crime that we don't see and we don't feel at times. Now, with regards to jealousy, there are three types. Two are impermissible and one is permissible. The first one is ghibta. This is natural inclination. This is permissible in the sense, for example, and I'll give it to you in the form of an example. How often we hear, you know, perhaps maybe our neighbor or our brother or sister or extended family member might tell you, look, my son became a hafiz. My daughter became a hafiza. Now you get excited. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Look, you know what? I also wish that you do the same. Make dua for my child. My son is also doing it. My daughter is also doing it. So this is that type of ghibta, that type of form of jealousy whereby you wish good for your Muslim brother as you also wish for yourself. This is permissible. How often now it is going to be the season of Hajj. We will hear inshallah of so many people from our community will be going for Hajj. Alhamdulillah, we are excited of the fact that Allah has accepted them. But at the same time we make dua that just as how Allah has accepted them, may Allah also accept me. This is fine. This is natural. But the second one and the third one, these are haram. And the first one being is where a person becomes such, he becomes so jealous that he doesn't want that person to have that ni'mat, that bounty to go to him at all. He wants it all for himself. There is no way he wants to become the judge, jury and executioner. That who gave him the right to have this honor? Who gave him that status? He's not worthy of it. So I wish that I wanted it and he mustn't get it. This is also haram. And the third one is where the person doesn't want it, but he doesn't like that person, so he doesn't want him to have it at all. Where he becomes such, example is given of Bilal radiallahu anhu in the Kufar. Bilal radiallahu anhu was an Abyssinian slave. He was from Abyssinia. But Allah had honored him by giving him the title and the status in Islam, where we all know that Bilal radiallahu anhu was the first muadhin in Islam. But the Kufar couldn't take it. They didn't want to accept Islam. They were not happy with the azan itself per se, but at the same time, they didn't want the fact that Bilal radiallahu anhu must be the first muazzin. And this is another form of jealousy. So many examples can be given. The famous incident of the two sons of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Habil and Qabil. We all know the famous incident where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told Adam alayhi salatu wasalam that tell your son Qabil that his sister must get married to his brother Habil. And Habil's sister must get married to Qabil. But Qabil refused. He didn't like it. Because he saw that his sister was more beautiful compared to Habil's sister. And he wanted it for himself and he didn't want it for his brother. As a result, it led him to commit the first crime on the face of the earth, the first murder on the face of the earth. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions in another hadith that the crime of Qabil is to such a degree that no murder perpetrated on the face of this earth till the day of Qiyamah will go by except that Qabil will partake of that crime. And this is the far-reaching effects of jealousy. We don't realize that tomorrow, okay, I'm jealous of that person. You know, and Ali mentioned so beautifully, he says that a person who becomes jealous becomes basically stupid. He becomes basically stupid. How? In the sense that it's like this. He drinks poison and he hopes that that person who he's jealous of must die. That's how silly he becomes. He doesn't realize the harm he caused to himself. He doesn't realize the hurt he causes to himself. All his a'mal that he had done for years upon years gets wiped away by one single action of jealousy. In fact, Ibn Sirin rahimahullah mentioned so beautifully. He says, "Ma hasadtu ahadan ala shay'in min ad-dunya." You know, I never got jealous for anyone in this dunya. For the simple reason, فَإِذَا كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. If this person is going to Jannah, فَكَيْفَ أَحْسُدُهُ. How can I be jealous of him? If he is already on his way to Jannah, how can I be jealous of him? فَإِذَا كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And if he's on his route to the fire of Jahannam, فَكَيْفَ أَحْسُدُهُ. How can I be jealous of him if he's going to the fire of Jahannam? Faqih Abu Laysa Marqandi rahimahullah, very beautifully he mentions and he says, so many effects come upon a person who is jealous. The first one, غَمٌ لَا يَنْقَطِي. Worry that will never end. This person will become such that his entire day and life he'll be worried about that person. The minute he sees that person smiling, he'll get worried. Medically, they say stress is one of the killers, you know, one of the killers. It's one of those things that can take away a person's life. When a person becomes jealous, automatically, medically, he gets stressed out. Now, why is it such that he is always winning? Why is it such that all the favors are coming to him? He himself has restless nights. But the person who he is jealous of, Allah blesses him. He has no worry, no concern whatsoever. You know, my mind goes to a little incident I want to share with you quickly. Some time ago, I mentioned in one talk, and I'll give you the cure for jealousy, that you know, we must always make dua for our Muslim brother. Even we are jealous of them, make dua for them. So I got an amazing call one day. A person phoned me and he says, you know, Molana, one moment, one bayan I sat for yours, and you mentioned this year that we must make dua for the people who we are jealous of. And I want to know, can I make dua for people who are jealous of me? So I said, no, it doesn't work like that. We must make dua first, and inshallah Allah will open up the way. So then we started to talk, and he told me, look, you know, I took over a certain shop in a community. I bought the shop. That man that was there, he sold it because he wasn't making it. So he, you know, incurred a lot of debt, so he sold up, and I bought it, and I gave him his price. I took over that shop. But I stayed in that area, and I found business to be very hard. I found out that every supplier that was supporting the shop prior to me, to the other businessmen, suddenly backed off. And I didn't know what was happening, and I was losing, as he said, big bucks. I was losing a lot of money. And then slowly but surely, I found out that the previous owner was very jealous. He was very jealous. Every time, in fact, what he would do, he would go and rally up the businessman and tell him, no, you know, don't support this man. You know, he's very bad. He would look for faults. And, you know, I was losing a lot of money, and it was really, really, you know, getting to me. And then I heard this bayan of yours, and I said, no, I must ask you. So I said, look, the first thing you need to do is make dua. Perhaps maybe you are jealous of someone else. As a result, Allah is causing harm to you. Allah is putting this test upon you. So make dua, and then Allah will alleviate it. So he did the same thing, and he phoned me back. He says, Mawlana, alhamdulillah, it worked. He says, no sooner did I do that, Allah made it such that all of a sudden there was another supplier from another area. He started to supply me, and alhamdulillah, my business grew. And as for that person who was jealous of me, all those businessmen who he tried to stop, they started joining me. And today he's walking around alone. He has no one with him. And everybody warns me about him. So my respected Al-Azim brothers, this is the effects of jealousy. Allah makes it such, غَمٌ لَا يَنْقَتِي, never-ending worry. The next aspect, مُذَمَّةٌ لَا يُؤْجَبْ. The person will become such that he will face affliction without reward. Now as a believer, we all know that everything comes from Allah. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Good and bad comes from Allah, and it's part of our belief that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an affliction, it is all but there to test us. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and he says that we will test you. If you just look at the word وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, just that word alone, we will definitely test you in every aspect of your life. But be rest assured, after that test, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, after that difficulty will come ease. As a result, when a believer is faced with any affliction, there's no need to worry, because he knows after that storm, Allah will bless him. Either Allah will elevate his status in the hereafter, or Allah will give him a portion of that reward here. But that person who is jealous, that person who suffers with this sin or this sickness of jealousy, Allah gives him calamity without any reward. The third aspect, تغلق أبواب التوفيق. The doors of hidayat close for this person. How often we hear people saying that, you know, I hate that man. Although he gave me advice and I know it's correct, but because it came from him, I don't want to listen. تُغْلَقُ أَبْوَابُ التَّوْفِيقِ, the doors of hidayah close for him. That jealousy eats him up to such an extent that he can't rectify or he can't see right and wrong. Therefore, he puts himself in his own grave. And as they say, you bang a nail into the coffin. And the last one, يَسْخُطُ عَلَيْهِ الرَّبِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry with him. Because when a person is jealous, he is jealous because someone else has good. Nobody gets jealous because someone else, some bad happened to that person. Nobody gets jealous for that. People get jealous because someone else is prospering. But we fail to realize, wallah, my respected elders and brothers, that this is a decree from Allah. When Allah wants to give a person honor, when Allah wants to give a person status, it is the prerogative and the right of Allah. يُعِزُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُذِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah gives who He wants and Allah takes from whoever He wants. Allah gives honor to people according to what Allah wants. So when a person is jealous, he is indirectly challenging Allah. That, oh Allah, how dare you give him this here or that there? That is why this jealousy is so bad. And this is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that that jealousy will eat away your amal just like how fire eats away wood. That till there is nothing remaining, then every amal we did in life will count for nothing in front of Allah. Because come the day of Qiyamah, what are we going to do? فَيَنْذُرُ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ مِنْ وَيَنْذُرُ أَشَمَّ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ مِنْ وَيَنْذُرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارَ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِهِ. What will he do when he stands in front of Allah and he only sees the actions that he did on his right hand side? He will turn to his left, he'll only see the actions that he did, and he'll look in front of him and he'll see nothing but the fire of Jahannam staring back at him. So this spiritual sickness, my respected Allahs and brothers, it is very, very important to keep it in check. Now what is the cure? Two. The first one, always be happy with whatever Allah has given you. Make shukr for whatever Allah has given you. When you are happy with what Allah has given you, you'll never want to look in someone else's pot. Number two, don't mind anyone's business. You know they say, mind your own business, fry your own fish in your own dirty dish. So don't worry about someone else. Yes, if that person requires help, if that person requires assistance, then by all means go out and help him. He's a Muslim brother. And third, make dua for the people who you are jealous of. That, oh Allah, just as how I am jealous of that person, oh Allah, make it better for him. Just as how I want prosperity, just as how I want taqwa, just as how I want pious children, just as how I want a good life, just as how I want a good wife, just as how I want good health. Everything that you desire, oh my Allah, whatever I desire, grant it to all those people whom I am jealous of. It is a very bitter pill to swallow. But wallah, I promise you there's sweetness after that. There is definitely sweetness after that. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions and he says in a hadith, La yu'minu ahadukum, you will never be a believer, hatta yuhibbu li akhi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. You will never be a believer until you love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. Does anybody love to shoot themselves? Does anybody love to stab themselves? No. We want the best for us. So we must learn to be a well-wisher for our Muslim brother. And in that way, it will take away this thread of brotherhood that is slowly being broken. That brokenness of that brotherhood will come away completely. And as a result, it will unite the hearts of the believers. And this is what we want. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. My respected Allahs and brothers, indeed it's a great sin, it's a great crime, it's a silent killer. May Allah protect us from all forms of jealousy. And may Allah let it be such that if we do have the sickness, let us endeavor to look for ways in which we can come out of it. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.